Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Returning once again to the book of Philemon and once again to the Thanksgiving section of this epistle, verses 4 through 7. The second of the four sections in the epistle. Once again, looking now at what this giving of thanks and the prayer of thanks that Paul describes for us in relationship to Philemon, what it tells us about a Christian. It paints a portrait of genuine Christianity. It paints a portrait of the man Philemon and how his Christianity manifested itself in such a way that Paul knew that it was genuine and gave God thanks for it because of that, and how that others knew that it was genuine because other people had reported to Paul about Philemon's faith and love and the other areas of that portrait that we are looking at today and in the days to come. And in examining what Paul says about Philemon, we can learn what a genuine Christian looks like. In this day of confusion, in this day when many people talk about being a Christian but manifest virtually none of the elements of the portrait that we find here, in a day when people talk about faith in such ill-defined or undefined and nebulous terms that nobody really knows what they're talking about, we need to go back to the Bible, back to the Scriptures, and find out what it means to be a Christian. And to ask ourselves the question, the very important question, am I a Christian? Am I truly a Christian? Have I claimed to be something that I am not? Do I profess something which is not genuine? Because eternity is at stake here, dear friends. Don't go out into eternity thinking you are a Christian when in fact you are not. I can't think of anything that would be sadder than that. So it is important for us to study this portrait of a Christian that we find in Philippians verses 4 through 7. To that end, we open our Bibles to the book of Philemon on this Thursday, October 19. And as we gather together around this portion of God's Word, we are mindful that we are able to broadcast these messages because of the financial help of our radio listeners. Here's the Thanksgiving section. Paul says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Well, I have identified seven pieces of this portrait of a Christian. The first two we have already examined. The third one we will take up today. But what is a Christian? A Christian is one who exercises faith toward the Lord Jesus. What is a Christian? A Christian, number two, is one who manifests love toward all the saints. What is a Christian? A Christian, number three, is one who delights in fellowship. That the sharing of your faith, that the koinonia of your faith, that the fellowship of your faith. And as we've already seen, We've been through this verse before, as we've already seen. This word koinonia speaks of community. It speaks of fellowship, faith toward the Lord Jesus, and love toward all the saints results in fellowship with the saints, not in isolation. It speaks of community. Love toward all the saints results in participation with the saints in the work of the gospel, in the context of a body of believers, as Philemon was in the church at Colossae. To be in a community of faith means to share with others in that community, that the sharing of your faith, the koinonia of your faith, all of this is talking about the life of the local church. That's what Paul saw in Philemon. Paul saw that Philemon was actively involved in the church at Colossae. He delighted in Christian fellowship because he delighted in Jesus Christ, and therefore, if Christ died for the church, if Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, then Philemon, one of those who was saved by the work of Jesus Christ, is going to love the people that Christ loves. He's going to love the people that Christ died for. He's going to share in the life of those people that he loves, because he had a love for all the saints. Christianity, true Christianity, is not lived out in isolation. True Christianity does not sustain itself by simply personal Bible reading and personal Bible study and personal prayer and perhaps receiving additional input in our day and time by all of the many wonderful resources that are available to us by internet and radio and television. I'm glad you're listening to the Beacon broadcast at this time, and the CDs and the other resources, which are wonderful. I love this time. I recognize the dangers that are involved in all of these things, because all of these things can be and are used for evil as well as for good. But I love all this technology. When I drive around in my automobile, I'm always listening, or almost always listening, to Bible teaching, either on the radio or on tapes or CDs that I play in my automobile as I ride around. You say, tapes? Do you still have tapes? Yep, I still have a tape player, and I still use tapes, but I also employ CDs. And even as I'm making this radio broadcast for you today, I am listening in my automobile to a whole series of CDs that came out of a national Bible conference. And I wasn't able to attend the conference, but I've got every message that was preached at the conference in a fat volume of CDs, and I am going through these one by one by one by one and listening with delight. That's a wonderful resource that we have that our forefathers didn't have, but dear friends, that does not and cannot take the place of the local church. These are additional resources that are wonderful indeed. But these things cannot replace our participation in the local church. I thank my God, said Paul, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing, that the fellowship, that the koinonia of your faith may become effective. A Christian is one who delights in the fellowship of the saints. A Christian is one who is involved in the community of believers. Now please understand that there are a couple of dangerous extremes that are attached to this teaching. You need to understand, first of all, that fellowship is not the essence of the Christian faith, it is the result of Christian faith. There are some people that believe erroneously that because they enjoy what is called fellowship, they enjoy camaraderie with people that go to church, they enjoy particularly going to church activities and church suppers and participating in this, that is evidence in itself that they are a Christian. Well, it's one of the manifestations of Christian faith that we look for, but please understand, that's not the essence of the Christian faith, that's the result of the Christian faith. And when that becomes dominant to the neglect of the essential, namely a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the doctrine of God's Word, then it becomes a dangerous substitute. And some Christians are all involved in the substitute, but not in the substance. Please don't make that mistake. But the other danger is that rugged individualism that seems to characterize some people. It is lauded in America. We sometimes call it American individualism. And sometimes people act as if that's the essence of the Christian faith. No, it is a necessary component. We must be able to stand alone. There is an element of individualism in Christianity. After all, the Christian faith is a personal faith. My relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody's a Christian because they were born into a Christian family and were incorporated into a church at an early age. No. Our Christianity, for it to be genuine, must be personal. It must be individual. That is a necessary component. But if individualism becomes dominant to the neglect of God-designed fellowship, then something is amiss. Something is badly amiss. If the Bible tells us that one of the marks of genuine faith is love for the brethren, as is emphasized repeatedly in the first epistle of John, as well as by the words of Christ himself to his disciples in the upper room, and if the Bible teaches us that, and yet there are people who say they are Christians, but they don't manifest that love toward for other believers, when it comes to the fellowship of the saints, they can take it or leave it. If they go to church at all, it's because they're interested in learning. They seem to have an interest in Bible study, and they're happy to go and to participate in that because they think it benefits them individually and personally, but they don't really seem to have any strong need for a relationship with the other Christians. They can take that or leave that. That just doesn't seem to be important to them at all. That's a bad sign. There's something amiss there. If that describes you, dear friend, you need to recognize that something is amiss. Something is seriously amiss. This is not a minor thing. This is a major thing. We're talking about the portrait of a true Christian. A Christian exercises faith toward Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian manifests love toward all the saints. A Christian delights in the fellowship of the saints. And if that doesn't describe you, then that ought to convict you. That ought to concern you. That ought to drive you to your knees. That ought to drive you to the fellowship of the saints to develop in your life that which the Bible says is part of genuine Christianity. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.